How We Became Human and Why We Need to Change. Written and read by Tim Dean. Our species is unremarkable in a lot of mundane ways, but we're also unique in a few remarkable ones. On the one hand, we're just another member of the family of warm-blooded mammals that grow fur, produce milk, and have three bones in the middle ear. So far, so much like a marmot. But one thing that sets us apart from our furry cousins is our unparalleled ultra-social nature. There is simply no other animal on this planet that lives and cooperates with unrelated members of its own species to the extent that we do. Certainly, there are other social animals. Fish school, wolves hunt in packs, and bees create mighty hives. But scratch the surface and these examples of sociality turn out to be fundamentally different from our own, resting more on self-interest than any genuine magnanimous spirit. Even the bees that make the ultimate sacrifice for the sake of the hive are still acting in their genetic self-interest by protecting their closely related kin. We are different. We don't just help our close genetic relatives, although we do tend to favour them above others, hence nepotism, derived from the Latin word for nephew. And we don't band together just because it benefits us. We have an innate tendency to cooperate with unrelated individuals, even strangers. When I give lectures on this topic, I invite students to picture what the theatre would look like if it were filled with chimpanzees rather than people. The picture that emerges is one of sound and fury, with items of dubious hygiene being flung around the room. The very fact that the students can sit there quietly, listening, refraining from causing distractions or hurling objects at each other, most of the time, is a testament to what sets us apart from even our closest hominid relatives. It's this ultra-social nature that has enabled our species to spread across the world, creating a globalized society. Just consider what goes into producing your morning coffee, or tea if you're better at achieving a fully awakened state in the morning than I am. First, there are the coffee growers, who could be working on a plantation on the other side of the planet from where you live. Then there are the workers who pick, process, and then mill the berries. Another cohort is responsible for transporting the beans to a port and shipping them to a roaster, who then ships them on to your local barista or supermarket as coffee grounds, or, heaven forbid, transforms them into instant coffee